Listen to every episode of Stokely and Zach on demand at 1043thefan.com. Brought to you by First Bank and the 20K Good Business Giveaway. Submit a video explaining how your business does good by October 24th for a chance to win $20,000. Rules and restrictions apply. Member FDIC. Visit efirstbank.com/business contest.
Again? We did it again.
Unbelievable.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it's not like we're doing head-to-head and winning, you know, five out of the first 6 weeks. This is like a full-blown, like, this show versus that show versus that show versus that show versus that show. I mean, are you kidding me?
Well, I mean, when you take a step back, you know, sometimes I like to take a step back and evaluate the situation.
Oh.
And once you do that, it's pretty easy to figure out. Look at our competition. Look at us. We just possess more brain power, Zach.
It's pretty simple.
It's just the brain power that we have on this show. They can't compare to that.
So you won 12 games. This weekend, I won 13. That is far and away the highest number. It was pretty much wrapped up before Monday Night Football even started, which is very rare because it typically is, you know, competitive. And another King Super Fan Football King's Feast will be brought to this show tomorrow.
Yes, there's two A's trophies.
I hope we hope they hook it up with that chicken palm again.
I think we'll be able to figure that out.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking forward to. It was,
you know,
a little pound cake on the side.
Delicious.
Slareth, Evans, Pritchard, Cecil, Darren, Alfred, Sandy, Orlando. Figure it out!
5 out of 6.
All right, enough of that. Does Thursday's game, Stoke, matter as much as we think it does? There is a sentiment that is now becoming the consensus around town that if the Broncos can't figure out a way to win a 60-minute football game in just over 48 hours, that you could see the house cleaned. Is there a scenario where the Broncos lose Thursday and both Case Keenum and Vance Joseph both keep their jobs?
Sure. I don't know about both of them. Now, one of them might be able to. I think if you lose this one, it's probably a wrap for Vance Joseph.
So now, he's the first to fall? There's no, like, stages of, like, Joe Woods is going to roll first.
I don't think so. I don't think so. I think you start at the top. You've kind of made your statement on Joe Woods, and you planned your flag with him. That's the way it seems to me. So it doesn't look like a move's going to be made there. And if you lose 5 in a row, Vance Joseph is probably done. Now, Case Keenum could survive a little bit longer because of his contract and what you're paying him and how much you committed to him and
What about Vance? You're still going to owe him millions of dollars?
Sure. Well, you had to sleep on it last year. So it is what it is when it comes to the head football coach. But the quarterback is a different story. And you can look at that quarterback and say, well, you know, we've committed a lot to him. It's only been 6 games. Let's continue to see this thing through. What's our other option here? Is a young quarterback that's never thrown a pass.
Nice
He's
correction.
He's taken one snap.
He's taken a snap.
He's never thrown an NFL pass in a regular season game. So you can look at it that way and kind of justify keeping Case Keenum as a starting quarterback. But I think it's a win or go home for Vance Joseph. I do. Do you agree with a win or go home for Vance Joseph?
I don't even think you need to ask that question.
I'm just making sure.
I mean, it was about a week and a half ago that I put out some, which some folks said a premature guarantee, that if Vance Joseph did not beat the Rams and Cardinals, he'd be shown the door. It was less about the Rams or the Cardinals than it was about the Jets. Because once you lost that game, and it was, what was that at the time? Was it your second loss in a row?
Third. Ravens, Chiefs, Jets.
Oh, yep, good call. Once you lost that Jets game, it was the third game in a row, you probably knew you weren't going to beat the Rams.
You knew you were going to be a big underdog.
You're going to be a big underdog, right? So then that makes the following week a potential five-game losing streak. It's the National Football League. You cannot lose a third of your schedule consecutively. You can't lose half of your schedule consecutively and then lose a third of your schedule consecutively. And that would be the scenario. A 5-11 season with an 8-game losing streak mixed in. And then you follow it up with a trending to be a mirror image of it the following year. It just can't happen. So I cannot see any scenario. And I mean any. Even if it's like 1%. I don't even know if I would put it at 1%.
Really?
And I've heard D-Mac say, look, you know, making change in the middle of the season, it's never good. And I agree with that. But at a certain point, you will go from competitor with a team with an expectation and an upgraded quarterback and a really good draft to NFL laughingstock. Like, I want to make this clear. No team in the NFL right now has a losing streak like the Broncos. They have the longest losing streak in the league.
It's not good.
It's not good. So, and I'm not even saying that someone else is going to be an upgrade. I'm not saying that moving, you know, Bill Musgrave.
But what do you know? You really don't know for sure. Usually it doesn't work out. Usually when you change quarterbacks, it doesn't work out. But you just never know.
True.
One time it might. I mean, Baltimore Ravens changed their offensive coordinator in 2012, late in the season, and they went on to win the Super Bowl. Unfortunately, they made that move. So, you know, sometimes change, yes, it doesn't work out. Most of the time, it doesn't work out. But there are cases that it does. And you look at the Broncos situation and what they have done and what they have coming up. Four losses in a row. You have the Cardinals. This is a very winnable game. You are favored in this game. And if you lose that, it doesn't get any easier. When do you make the move? Are you going to wait till after the Chiefs game? Till you go out there to Kansas City and get blown out? When are you going to make the move? So if you don't make the move, if they lose to Arizona, then guess what? Then just keep them the whole year. Then you're stuck with them. So you either make the move when you still have time to get things figured out and let an interim coach try to put his stamp on this team and show his value and get this thing turned around. Or you know what? Just keep Vance Joseph for the rest of the season. It's a wrap.
You know, there's a portion of Broncos country that does not want to hear that.
Doesn't want to hear that
if you don't make the decision real quick in this window where there's still enough time left in the season to someone else can try to catch traction, that you're beholden to Vance through the whole thing.
Well, I'm sorry. I just look at it as a situation where it's now or never. You know, you can't wait in the NFL season. You just can't sit on your hands and say, okay, we'll give them a couple more weeks. You either make the move or you don't make the move. And a five-game losing streak and being at, what would they be at this point, 2-5?
Yeah.
If they lose?
Mm-hmm.
Then, look, I mean, then what are you waiting for? What are we doing here? Then just keep them for the rest of the season. Because, obviously, you can't get things fixed. And it's snowballing like it did last year. So either you make the move or you don't. And hopefully they don't have to. Hopefully they go out there and get the W and get the win so we can stop talking about it. But jobs are on the line this week. You're playing a bad Arizona team. You got to win it. If you don't win it, then Vance is going to be gone. And if he's not, then just keep him for the rest of the year. Because you're telling me it doesn't matter anyway. That's what you're telling me if you don't make a move.
Really interesting thought there. And I want to return to it at some point later in the show. But first, Stoke, the
Why wait? What? I mean, why wait? We're on a roll here. We could just keep this momentum going.
Okay. Well, here's a simple question as it relates to Vance Joseph. What percentage of Broncos country wants Vance Joseph to actually figure this thing out? That right there is a complicated question. And let's peel back the artichoke.
Look at you. I'm proud of you. Very proud of you. And also, I'm proud. See, I wanted to kind of see if you could do this on the fly and catch you off guard. See if you could handle a little bit of adversity. You did great.
Well, peel back the artichoke next.
Does your business make a positive impact on its community, customers, or employees? First Bank invites you to submit a 2-minute video explaining how you and your business do good for a chance to win $20,000 and a marketing campaign courtesy of First Bank. Doing good can be donating proceeds to charity, being environmentally sustainable, providing gym memberships for your employees, and so much more. If this describes your business, submit your video by October 24th. First Bank. Business banking for good. Rules and restrictions apply. Member FDIC. Visit efirstbank.com/business contest for more details.
So here's a complicated question, and it's kind of deep. It's kind of deep and conflicted.
Wow. You're using a lot of big words right now. Let's just...
He's deep and conflicted.
And use another one. Yeah, complicated.
Okay.
Let's just... We don't need all of that. It's not that difficult.
Okay.
What are we talking about?
Vance right now and his status within this community. I have seen a sentiment out there from Broncos country, Broncos fans, diehard fans, guys who love this football team, who love this organization, who watched it with their father and now watch them play with their sons, who are actually rooting for the Broncos to fail in the short term so they can move on from Vance Joseph. And I say it's conflicting because when would you ever root against your team? And I don't think people are actively rooting for the other team. I just think there is a portion of this community, and not all, believe me, not all, okay? But I wonder what the number is, what the percentage is of this community who are hoping this gets over like a Band-Aid as quick as possible.
Right.
Rip it off. And I say it's conflicted because you never want to be in this situation. I mean, shoot, Stoke, we're not even to the halfway point of the season. But this is where we're at. It speaks to the climate of the last year and a half.
Yeah, I mean, it really does. Look, I mean, Vance barely made it to this year. And now you're in a situation where he knew what was at stake. Everybody knew what was at stake. You got to win. And you see the way things have been going. You can't just sit back and allow it to keep going this way. It's the NFL. You got to win football games. And you look at their losses and how bad they've lost and how they looked in these losses. And that's a reflection of your coaching staff and your head coach, unfortunately, for Vance. That's the situation. And you're playing the Arizona Cardinals team that you're favored by. You're favored. And you got to go out there and win a football game. You're on a 4-game losing streak. And if you don't win, that's probably a wrap. I mean, that's just what's at stake here. And do you want to start over again? No, you don't want to a little over a year after you hired the guy. You don't want that. But when you see things continue to go the way they've gone, at some point you got to make a move. You just can't sit back and allow it to keep going.
Not in this league. Not in this league.
Not in this league, and not for this organization.
Right. Right. An organization that is tried and true, like the Broncos have been, not for years, not for a decade. We're talking decade after decade. The Broncos have been a model of consistency. And one of the coolest phrases in all of sports, the Broncos have had more Super Bowl appearances than losing seasons. The Broncos have not had back-to-back losing seasons since 1972. Those are two of the coolest statements that you could make right now in all of sports, and they're so powerful.
What's the ratio there? Do we know?
They're both in jeopardy.
Yeah, and that's a shame. So, you know, I mean, it looks like we're not going to be able to say that anymore, right?
Well, at a certain point,
I mean, look at the schedule and look at where they sit. They better win. If you want to keep that streak alive and keep saying that, you have got to win this week. You've got to. Because if not, there goes that statement. There's no chance.
And that's what makes this week different. Yes, it's Thursday night football. Yes, the Broncos are riding a four-game losing streak. But what makes this week very different, and you said it in passing in our opening segment, Stoke, this is a week you're actually expected to win. You've lost four games in a row, and you're actually expected on a short week, not at home, on the road, to beat the Arizona Cardinals. So this one is actually an outlier. And I'm glad you brought up the schedule, because if you can't figure out a way to shut down the Arizona Cardinals with a rookie quarterback and a 1-5 football team, who can you beat? At Kansas City the next week? Against the Houston Texans the following week? At the Chargers the next week? Against the Steelers the next week? At Cincinnati? At San Francisco?
None of them. Cleveland? None of them, really. So, you know, you look at the situation and you say, well, you've got to try to get this thing fixed. You got to try to spark this football team. And how do you do that? One of two ways. You know, you change some coaches and you change the quarterback. That's how you do it. So we're coming up on this time of the season after you've lost, you know, four in a row. You're going to have to start making those changes if you lose again. When it comes to coaches and it comes to the quarterback position, Case Keenum has got to look better. He's got to start playing better football, or why not just turn it over to Chad Kelly? What do you have to lose? Because obviously if he keeps playing like this, you got to get things figured out for the next year and see what you have going forward. I mean, Chad Kelly could come out and look the part and play good football. Then you can at least say, okay, well, we're going to put our money behind Chad Kelly next year. He's going to be our guy. So you know what you have. You know, you don't want to be in a situation in the offseason where you go, you know, 6-10 and we got this young quarterback, but we just don't know anything about him. But we know this guy we just paid a lot of money to stinks, but we got to find a quarterback.
And also what would be not be a great situation is if you said, okay, you finished 6-10, but you only started Chad Kelly for the last 2 weeks of the season. And you still don't really know what you're dealing with because the sample size is inappropriate. That being said, I'm still not ready to make this move.
And that's fine. Look, I'm okay with Case Keenum being the guy right now. But this is it. You know, he's on the same lease as Joe Woods and Vance and everybody over there. If you're not getting it done, I'm looking to the next guy. I'm not sitting on my hands. I'm ready to make moves. I don't like losing. And so if he doesn't get it done and he doesn't look the part, first quarter, second quarter, at some point, you got to try to get this team a spark. And I think if you're Vance Joseph, you can say whatever you want about backing Case Keenum. He's our guy. He's the Broncos quarterback, this and that. But if he's not getting the job done against Arizona, you better make a move. You better make a move and try to spark this team.
The Broncos are near the bottom of most every power ranking this week, okay? That's understood. But it was a single biting sentence from one outlet that you have to hear next.
It's tricky.
Well, it's a little bit tricky when you're trying to figure out exactly where to distribute the, not the blame, but the responsibility that is inherent with a lot of these positions, like being the head coach of a football team, being the starting quarterback of an NFL football team. But the direction got pointed differently on Pro Football Talk. Mike Florio, who does a nice job, well, depending on who you ask, really. It's an aggregate website where they take other people's content and repurpose it. They're not alone in doing that. But they do a nice job to cover the whole NFL.
Yes.
And, you know, whether you like Mike Florio personally or not, that's a different conversation. But Pro Football Talk, like pretty much every outlet out there who has an NFL platform, they do a power rankings, one of our least favorite thing, right?
Yes.
And the Broncos are near the bottom on most power rankings this week. Okay, they've lost four football games in a row on the heels of a 5-11 season. It's sort of the story writes itself. But on Pro Football Talk, next to each team, they give a one or two sentence explanation on why they're there.
A little breakdown.
Very small.
Okay.
Micro.
Little
micro
caveat.
I don't know if caveat's the right placement there. But
sounded good. I wanted to throw it in there and see if it stuck.
Or something. The sentence next to the Broncos today is very simple, but it's biting. It says, quote, if the Broncos had a traditional owner, they possibly would be on the verge of getting a new GM. When we look at the situation and how we've gotten here, okay?
Well, I wasn't ready for that one.
Yeah. Honestly, neither was I when I opened the tab this morning. But you're starting to see more of this broad view of the organization beyond just Vance Joseph. When we look at how we've got to where we're at, and you know, by all accounts, this season is not over. But it is the longest losing streak in the NFL yet again for the second year in a row. How would we distribute the responsibility of this thing between Case Keenum's poor play, between the Broncos' offense looking antiquated, between a defense that is porous, Joe Woods hasn't done a good enough job, Vance Joseph hasn't fulfilled the expectation, Case Keenum hasn't fulfilled the expectation, but there's also John Elway who's put these guys in place.
Yeah. Well, it starts at the top. Always does. I don't know about that statement, though. You know, if the Broncos had a traditional owner, they possibly would be on the verge of getting a new GM. I don't know about that. You know, you also got to put in context John Elway's contract. You know, so he's under contract through 2021. So you're going to just force him out also? Now, maybe you could, if you had a traditional owner, maybe you could put him in a different role and hire a GM. Maybe you would do that. But to think that you would just up and just fire him, and I mean, you got to realize who this guy is and what he's done for you. I don't think that's the case. I think what you could do is find a different role for him and hire yourself a more of a traditional general manager, possibly. But you're not going to just fire John Elway. I don't think that's going to happen.
Well, I don't think it's going to happen either.
And I don't think a traditional owner would do that.
Okay. So if Mr. B was still in good health, you think that...
Oh, he wouldn't fire John. I mean, look, I mean, you also got to realize a few years ago, this team won a Super Bowl.
That's right.
Under John's watch.
That's
so,
right.
So, obviously, look, things have not been good here recently. And he's the one that's made these draft picks. He's the one that made these signings. He's the one that hired Vance Joseph. Look, all that falls on John Elway. So there's no hiding that. But I don't think you're going to see anybody can or fire John Elway just because of what he's done for this organization. Now, I think you could say, hey, John, look, stuff, you know, these picks are your general manager skills aren't like your quarterback skills. Okay, so let's find yourself a new role, just overseeing things, and let's go find ourselves a general manager.
Well, you know, I see on the RamosLaw.com text line, that, you know, hey, the GM needs to go. What has John Elway done without PFM? And to a certain degree, that criticism is true. But it is sort of cherry picking, saying, you know, what have you done since this? Well, because that thing that you're referencing did happen. I just wonder, moving forward, how long the leash of Super Bowl 50 and an appearance in Super Bowl 58. Or 48, excuse me, how many links are in that chain?
Right.
You know, but I also say this on the heels of that statement. Whatever John Elway did in this last year's draft, do that again. Because it looks like, by all accounts, he's really onto something here with this class of 2018.
Yeah, but we're paying the price of all the previous failures in free agency and the draft. And it's a big price to pay. 5-11, 4-game losing streak this year. We'll see how this thing turns out. And then you'll be sitting here at the end of, you could be sitting here at the end of the season saying, well, who's our quarterback for next year? And when you don't have a quarterback, you don't have much hope. At least if you had a quarterback, you could say, you know, like all these young quarterbacks that are, you know, playing for bad football teams, those fans have hope because they got, at least they got a guy they can point to. That guy's going to be our next Aaron Rodgers, hopefully.
Right. See Aaron Rodgers last night, by the way?
Yeah, that was a bad call on Richard Sherman, I thought, to keep their drive alive.
Mm.
Thought that was a bad call. I mean, you can't even touch a guy.
I know.
It wasn't like he was still wide open.
I know.
So, you know, let the play out. And, sometimes you just leave the flag in your pocket on plays like that.
It's hard to watch.
It didn't really affect the play at all. I mean, he kind of tugged him a little bit, but, I mean, the guy was still wide open. He didn't fall down. It wasn't like that dictated the play at all. You got to let some things go. And then that extended their drive. They were going to have to punt. That extended their drive. Then they won the football game. But right. I thought it was a bad call. But, yeah, Aaron Rodgers is special. Memo. So here's the thing. Here's the difference. And look, everybody's looking for those types of quarterbacks. But when you see what they were with Aaron Rodgers, you know, they're a Super Bowl contender with him. They're not even a playoff team without him. So, you know, if you can – those are the guys, you know, they always have hope when they have Aaron Rodgers. And everybody wants to find one of those guys. And if you can find one, you always have a chance.
Always.
And that's been, you know, the Achilles heel here. We haven't been able to find that guy or find the hope. You know, we did have some hope, you know, with Brock for a little bit. And then you look at Paxton Lynch, you had the hope. But you gotta, sooner or later, you gotta find that guy. And you had an opportunity this year with the number 5 overall pick, and you didn't go down that road, and so where will you be next year? You need to have some hope with a quarterback.
Until we figure that out, this program is only going to go so far. And I'm still, and maybe I'm the cockeyed optimist, as someone called me, I am still not selling every last parcel of my Case Keenum stock. I have sold some behind your back. Right as the bell was closing.
I don't know if I want to say this or not. Right as the bell was closing. No, I knew you sold a little bit. I think I'm done. I think I'm all out.
I didn't have
as much stock as you.
Nope.
But I did have stock. I did believe that he could come in here and build off of last year. I'm just looking at some of the things that I'm seeing. I don't know if it's recoverable. Is that a correct word?
Sound like it.
Okay.
From here.
All right. It just didn't come out very fluid. But I don't know if he can recover from it. I'm seeing things that have me really concerned. And you shouldn't be seeing over and over and over again. I mean, look, the one fourth down call, we talked about it. Okay. But he was 10 yards deep. 10 yards deep in the pocket. Who can block when he's that far back? Think about how far 10 yards is. Your tackle is setting up at about, you know, for you to be around 7 yards. You're at 10 yards deep. What are you doing? That's, you know, you can never do that. And Booker gives up the sack and it looks bad on Booker, but I got to put it on Keenum. You're way too deep. And then some of the reads and recognitions that he's not doing correctly have me very concerned. I'm all out. Sold.
All out.
Sold.
Not even holding one little.
All right. Give me
one little shred.
Yeah. All right. I'll take
it. It is week 7.
It is week 7. I'll hold on to a little bit then. You talked me out of it.
All right.
But
you can reevaluate Thursday at midnight.
No.
Thursday at halftime?
No. First quarter. I'm evaluating quarter by quarter. That's where we're at, Zach. Because I've already said, and you've said, and most of Brock, if we don't win this game, then Vance is gone. So how can you sit there and wait, you know, if you're Vance Joseph, for a full game and watch him have another bad performance where he's throwing the football to the wrong team, he's not making the right reads, not getting you in the end zone, you're 3-for-10 on third down. How can you do that? You can't. So what I like to, you know, give Case 12 weeks to, you know, work his way through this, yes, but you can't if you're Vance Joseph. You got to try to win a football game.
Last night, when Aaron Rodgers gets the football back, I think there was like 1:03 left, something like that. And the score's tied. I already knew what was going to happen. I think we all did. And the way I tried to phrase it on Twitter is I said, the great movies, like more my favorite movies, Shawshank Redemption, Goodfellas, The Green Mile.
I like the first two. I'm not sold on the third one.
All right, so we'll keep it to Goodfellas and Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah.
And you're flipping through. You know the movie. You've seen it before. You know how it ends, but you still sit there and watch it anyway. Aaron Rodgers with the football with a minute left feels like that. I know how this is going to end. You're going to get into field goal territory, and you're going to have a shot to win the game, and you're probably going to win the darn thing. With Case Keenum, after 2 weeks...
What were the 49ers doing on defense? Just don't understand. How can you let
the
guy...
Here's the sideline.
Yeah, just go ahead. Catch the ball right on the sideline, get out of bounds. So, I mean, that's just ridiculous. You lose more football games than you win, okay? 49ers, they just lost that game. They had ample opportunities to win it. Mistake after mistake after mistake after mistake. Go ahead, sorry.
No, I was going to say, after the first two games of the season, the Seattle game, you're down. You got the football, you come back and win it. The Raiders game, you're down. You're down double figures in the second half. You find a way and come back and win it. Two game-winning drives. It was starting to feel a little bit like that. But what those two drives did is sort of masked the substance of what the game was, the 59 minutes leading up to that, you know, seminal moment where you're able to win the game. But we kind of got by on that a little bit. And since then, you know, Vance and John Elway said, what you want with a quarterback is that hope word. Remember, we talked about this. With Case, we have hope. That feeling that I had is becoming less and less. Less and less. Should we be able to go on the road and beat a 1-5 football team in the Cardinals? Of course. But that level of hope, that level of optimism, boy, it's dissipating quick.
Yeah, you just don't know what you're going to get from Case. Now, he can go out there and look the part, for sure. I mean, he's won some football games late in these games, the first couple, where nice come-from-behind wins. But he's also shown the ability to just not look the part at all. And that's very concerning when it's not just every now and then. It's been, you know, full games. And now, you know, you're four losses in a row. You go on the road to the New York Jets and you look inept as a total football team. You know, that's not all in a Case. But you got to find a way as a quarterback to convert the money downs, third down red zones, opportunities. And they're not doing that. And a lot of that goes on the quarterback because you can put some on the offensive line. You know, you can spread some blame out, but you have enough playmakers to be able to go out there and stay on the football field more and to convert these third downs and these opportunities in the red zones into touchdowns. That's what you have to be able to do. You have to make good decisions. You don't throw a 50-50 ball, well, probably a 25-75 ball to Jeff Heuerman on third down and five. You just don't do that. Okay, so that's on Case making that decision. He's got to be better. And his time's running out.
Where is Case on your, you know, I asked, you know, how are we distributing the responsibility, you know, Case, Vance, Joe, Bill, John, how do we distribute it? Where's the pie chart? Who's got the biggest slice? Where is Case on your list of Broncos problems right now? That led us to a 2-4 record, the longest losing streak currently in the league. Where is Case Keenum on that list?
He's right up at the top, along with, you know, Vance, along with, I mean, you got to put Bill Musgrave in there, and you got to put Joe Woods in there. They're all up there. And John Elway, obviously, is at the top of the list. He's the one making all these decisions. He's the one that put this team together. But Case, the quarterback and the coordinators and the head coach, when you look at people that are on the field, people that are practicing, people that are playing the games, and people that are coaching them, those are the ones that have the most blame. When you look at this ball club and you look at how they play, once again, just like the New York Jets game, this is on this coach and staff to get this team ready to play. You have a four-game losing streak. People aren't happy. People aren't playing well. You just played a semi-close game with a very good football team, almost like you did the week before the Jets game. And I said that Jets game was on the coaching staff then to get that team ready to play. and they failed. And this game is the same as that Jets game in my eye. It's a game that you should win, and it's a game that this coaching staff has to get this football team ready to play. And if they go out there and do it, congratulations. You keep your job for a little bit longer. And if you don't, you got to start moving on. You got to start changing things. You know, Vance told us a week or so ago that, look, when you're not winning, you have to make changes. That's what he said.
Yeah, it's inherent with the league.
That's the way it goes. And so that's the situation you're in now. You're playing for your job. You're coaching for your job in 2 days.
Well, you know what this feels like for the Cardinals and the Broncos for all the wrong reasons? It feels like two dudes going into a cage and only one's coming out. Because the Cardinals are in the same position as the Broncos. They're a 1-5 football team, and you talk about desperate. Steve Wilks, who is a first-time head guy, right?
Yeah.
First-time head coach, his job is on the line. He was asked about our old friend, Mike McCoy, who we will see on Thursday. For those who don't know, and I'm sure most of you do, but just to catch everyone up, Mike McCoy, the offensive coordinator that was fired last year here in Broncos country after, what was it, like week 8 or something?
Yeah.
Something like that. He was fired. He landed with the Cardinals. And they're a 1-5 football team. And after putting up 17 points in a loss to the Vikings this past weekend, Steve Wilks was asked if Mike McCoy's job is in jeopardy. And Wilks didn't just hone in on Mike McCoy. He said, quote, I would say all of our jobs are in jeopardy, including mine, if we don't win. So these situations sort of mirror each other. Real changes are going to happen in Arizona if they can't figure out a way to win at home on a short week against the Broncos. Like, both teams have legitimate reasons to believe you should win. Arizona Cardinals, from our perspective, have not been a good football team. They're 1-5. They figured out a way to win one single game this season. They have a rookie quarterback as well. But if you're them and you're in Arizona, you're saying, look at them. We can run it down their throat. We have a terrific back. They've been historically bad stopping the run. We're at home. They're on a 4-game losing streak, and they got to travel on a short week.
Yeah. You look at this game, and it does have a lot of ramifications, and there's a lot riding on it. And we got a RamosLaw.com text here talking about Case is 80% to blame for this offense. Musgrave has a great game plan, but Case can't execute it. And I agree with some of that, not all of it, but at some point, if you're this coaching staff, you got to take a look at Chad Kelly with Bill Musgrave calling this offense and see what it looks like then. So you look at what's going on. You look at a way to salvage, you know, and spark this ball club and maybe save some jobs. And if you're Vance Joseph, it starts with the quarterback and it ends with the quarterback. And I don't disagree with that RamosLaw.com text. Because Case's play has been really below average. And so I'm sitting there saying, why not? You know, what's holding up the opportunity for Chad Kelly? And especially on Thursday night. And especially after losing 4 in a row. If you're not going to make the move and make it quick and decisively, then you're probably not the best guy for this job. Vance, you waited too long last year with Trevor. If you would have just been listening to me, you'd have done it 3 weeks before. You could see the ship sinking, okay? Jump off of that ship when it's sinking. And that's what's going on with Case. At some point, who knows? Does anybody know if Chad Kelly is going to be the answer or not? No, nobody knows that. But at some point, you got to say, shoot, I'm going to take a look.
But do you wait until to make that move, do you... What's the deciding factor? Is it how it looks? Is it how it feels? Is it the record that when you're mathematically out of it?
Oh, no. Oh, no. I don't want to be mathematically out of it.
So you're going to try to win with Chad here?
Sure. Why not? I'm looking at this week. I told you. If Case goes out there for a quarter and all of a sudden you're down 10-0 or 7-3 and Case is throwing the ball all over the football field to the wrong color jerseys and we're having a punt with a lot of three and outs, then what are we doing? Let's go ahead. Let's make this move. Let's try to spark this ball club. Let's try to get a win. Try to win a football game. Haven't done it in a while. Everybody, like Steve Wilkes said, everybody's jobs are on the line. So you got to be ready and you got to be willing to make moves and make changes. And that's just the way it goes. Case seems like a great guy. But at the same time, he's got to play better and you got to win football games.
Quite simply.
And that starts on Thursday. If it's not good, you know, if you want to give him two quarters, then give him two quarters. I'm okay with it. But at halftime, you got to be willing to make that move.
Is there any chance that the Broncos can win the game and either Case Keenum or Vance Joseph lose their job?
I don't see that happening. The bottom line is winning football games.
So no matter how it looks, if you figure out a way to finish with one more point than the Cardinals, you get an extension for another week.
I think so. I think that's the way it goes right now. You're just trying to win and survive. Win and move on. It's March Madness. Win and move on for the Broncos, and you know what? Then you'll evaluate it the next week, and it gets a lot harder. But let's just win this one. Let's just figure this thing out.
Is the Broncos' biggest problem, Stoke, actually a lack of innovation? I have a couple clues that have led me to believe so, and I'll explain next.
Does your business make a positive impact on its community, customers, or employees? First Bank invites you to submit a two-minute video explaining how you and your business do good for a chance to win $20,000 in a marketing campaign courtesy of First Bank. Doing good can be donating proceeds to charity, being environmentally sustainable, providing gym memberships for your employees, and so much more. If this describes your business, submit your video by October 24th. First Bank. Business banking for good. Rules and restrictions apply. Member FDIC. Visit efirstbank.com/businesscontest for more details.